morning. On behalf of my colleagues, I would like to thank you for the opportunity to present in this session. We're delighted to be here. I, too, have very quickly no financial interests or other conflicts to present as a result of this presentation. There may be some folks in the audience who are not familiar with physician assistants, so I'd like to spend just a minute familiarizing folks, and I hope I'm not insulting anyone's intelligence or wasting too much time here. But in my years in practice, I do occasionally still run into folks who aren't quite sure who we are or what we do. So PAs are educated in a medical model of training. So essentially, if you look at our average program length, you can see that we condense the equivalent of 2 years' worth of medical school into 27 or so months. And about half of that is a didactic or classroom and laboratory setting, and the other half is in traditional clinical rotations in the medical disciplines, such as surgery and pediatrics and women's health and internal medicine and primary care. We do, most of us, have a foundation of a generalist or primary care approach to our education, and as a guide for our practitioners. The terminal degree for PAs right now and about 90% of the programs that exist is a master's degree. There are some accreditation standards set by a National Accreditation Commission. We're governed in terms of our quality of care and our competency by the National Commission on Certification of PAs and are required to take a board examination both when we finish training and on a repetitive basis. Currently, that's every 6 years with some CME required annually, but those requirements are changing. We're going to have a presentation in a minute from one of the chiefs of research at the American Academy of Physician Assistants, and they do a splendid job on an annual basis of accruing census data regarding the profession. And the most recent published information was from 2010, suggested there are about 83,000 PAs practicing clinically. Interestingly, the National Commission on Certification of PAs has just released data stating that they certified their 100,000th PA about a month ago. So, of course, there are a few retirees and some folks not practicing clinically, but it's a growing profession. Note that about 8% of practicing PAs work in outpatient hospital outpatient units. That's relevant to the data I'm going to present in just a minute. Most people wonder about our relationship to primary care, and about 31% of PAs practice in a primary care specialty that's usually described as general practice or pediatrics or sometimes internal medicine. 61% of practitioners are female, median age is 38, and the median number of years in clinical practice is 7, and this reflects a group of people who generally come to the educational process after a few years of work, usually in a different health profession. This data that I'm presenting is data that was originally derived from a research study done by Cynthia Abel, one of our co-authors, who is a 2012 graduate of the master's degree program in clinical research at Campbell in our College of Pharmacy. She was interested in questions regarding the differences in rural and urban health care and access to care, and was also interested in the physician assistant profession, and so she looked for research questions that would address characteristics that approach both rural and urban practices and provider types. Now, I'm going to use North Carolina since that's where we're from as an example, and I want to talk a little bit about why this is important. For those of you who don't know about life on the eastern part of the country, the map of North Carolina on the top shows physician assistants per 10,000 population in 2011, and the lower map is of primary care physicians in the same year. And this list on the other side are some numbers regarding numbers of practicing PAs in the state. This is data from the North Carolina Center for Health Professions of the Cecil G. Shepps Center for Health Services Research at UNC Chapel Hill. It's an excellent source of data, particularly regarding health care in North Carolina. The darker colored areas are the higher concentrations of healthcare providers. The lighter colored areas are the areas where there's a lower concentration. If you'll notice in these two maps, there's one county, at least, that doesn't have any healthcare providers of any sort in terms of primary care or physician assistants. All of these areas that are lightly colored are rural areas, and these areas that are darker colored, concentrations of population often surrounding universities or academic medical centers. This is Raleigh-Durham-Chapel Hill, Duke, UNC, and Wake Med. This is Charlotte. They have a robust medical center. Asheville ECU has a medical school. This is Wilmington, University of North Carolina, Wilmington. Of course, life on the coast attracts a few folks. And two-thirds of the number of practicing PAs are concentrated in these urban areas. And North Carolina has the sixth greatest population of PAs practicing in this country, and two-thirds of them are in urban areas. I think this really speaks to why it's important to start understanding a little more issues of healthcare disparities in rural and urban areas. The study that Ms. Abel conducted was a cross-sectional retrospective study based on data from the National Hospital Ambulatory Medical Care Survey for the years 2005 through 2009, and that's important, and I'll mention that again in a minute. She had two endpoints, one of them having to do with the provider seeing either a physician assistant or physician in terms of practice location, and that's either urban or rural, and those are defined using the standard metropolitan statistical area definitions of population either above or below 50,000. She's interested in provider seen in terms of major reason for visit, and for the purposes of her data, visits were classified as either acute or non-chronic or chronic, and so those are the definitions that we'll be talking about here. The survey data that she used summarized the patient characteristics, and patients filled out these surveys and went to hospital outpatient departments that participated in this national survey. These characteristics are for the general population of the study. 39 years old, predominantly women, predominantly Caucasian, mostly urban, and distribution of geographic sites. You'll notice the western part of the country is a little bit underrepresented, and there are a number of different payer types, fairly evenly distributed. She asked two resource questions, as I noted before. One of them was, is there an association between provider seen and practice location? And when you look at what she did a chi-square analysis, which is a test of independence for those of you who are interested in statistics, and noted a statistically significant difference in the distribution of cases between rural and urban settings, depending on whether you're a physician or a PA. So PAs, if you look down at the bottom here where the arrow is, about 28% of the patients seen by PAs were in rural areas, and 72% in urban, but only 10% of rural patients are seen by physicians compared to 90%. So a fairly larger distribution of PAs in rural areas seeing patients. Her second question was, is there an association between provider seen and reason for visit? Remember, this acute, non-chronic versus chronic. And again, she found a statistically significant difference using the chi-square test. If you'll look at the number of patients seen with acute problems or chronic problems, there's a wider distribution for PAs, mostly acute, non-chronic problems, than there is for physicians, where there's closer to average or equal distribution of the two types of visits. Well, that doesn't look like a lot. I guess that's what a lot of us would consider, is that really clinically significant, even though it's statistically significant. But there was a difference. These findings led her to do a post hoc analysis of data on the subset of patients seen only by the physician assistant. And she looked at a number of the predictor characteristics, which are listed here, and she compared those for whether the PAs were practicing in an urban setting or a rural setting. When she finished a series of chi-square analyses, she took the predictor variables that showed some degree of significance and entered them into a logistic regression equation to try and determine what the weight and particular importance of the various characteristics was. To summarize those findings, because I really didn't want to have to try and talk my way through a logistic regression equation here, there were some differences in PAs who worked in urban areas versus PAs who worked in rural areas. PAs in urban practices, as listed here, tend to see more chronic problems, to provide health education as part of their services, and to work in a nonprofit governmental facility as opposed to a privately owned hospital. And PAs in rural practices tend to provide more, or are more likely to order medications or provide a medication-related or treatment-related service, and were significantly more likely to work in a general medicine clinic. And essentially what that's saying is they didn't work in surgery clinics, they didn't work in other types of medical discipline clinics, that they were just in general medical clinics. There are a number of limitations to this study data. Secondary data sets are a little bit limiting in the sense that you're sort of stuck by what they ask and what variables they use when you design what you want to talk about and how you answer your questions. And I think that's the case here. We found in PA education that there's a fairly limiting or underrepresenting of PAs in national data sets anyway. Very often they're lumped in other provider categories. That was not the case here, but there are a fairly small number of PA visits accounted for in this particular data set. And I bring up the issue of the somewhat older data, not quite as old as the data in the presentation previously, but healthcare is changing at such a clip that I'm not sure that sometimes the data from even 5 or 6 or 10 years ago is particularly helpful. And one of the reasons for that is demonstrated here as an example. If you look at the highlighted areas, the mouse went away, this is a data for national medical visits where subjects are seen by a PA. And if you look back in 1997, 3% of rural visits were seen by a PA. A year later, 45% of rural visits were accounted for by a PA in this particular data set. I find that a little bit hard to believe, and I don't know. I'm hoping we'll hear a little bit more about that in a minute. But then if you come down to 2003, it's climbed up to 60% of visits, but then it drops 5 years later to 22% of visits. So I really think there's some inconsistencies in these national data sets that make it difficult. Therefore, since we just noted that more research is always needed, and I agree with that, there's some things that we've talked about at Campbell that we're interested in. And I say Campbell, one of my colleagues is here. I didn't put our email addresses on the end of this talk, so we'll be available if anybody would like to talk about. I've made some comments here that are fairly PA-specific and PA-centric because that's what I do for a living, but we have both a Department of Physician Assistant Practice and a Department of Public Health, and we're located in a rural area in North Carolina, so we're really interested in answering some questions about healthcare disparities in rural areas, both from providers, from patients' points of view. And I think there are a number of things we could ask. One of the things we're interested in is how medical providers as students decide where they want to practice when they finish. And so we've started a study, our co-investigator is on an airplane right now for this one, but to look at PA students and how they think a little bit about what they want to do when they get out of school. We think that there's probably a relationship between whether or not they grew up in an urban area or rural area and whether they choose to work in an urban or rural area. So we're doing a small pilot study with our own students right now. We've got 34 students in our charter PA class, 28 of whom agreed to participate in the study. And we're asking them to answer a few questions about where they grew up and what their practice intentions are. We ask them as they completed their academic year of training before they went out on their clinical rotation sites where they are now. We'll ask them again the same questions when they're finished their clinical rotations, and then we plan to survey them about a year or so after they graduate, after they've all gone to work, to see what they've done. We did look at their initial intentions, though, after spending some time in the academic setting. And we have found some concordance between whether or not they grew up in an urban or rural area and what their interests are relative to where they think they may intend to practice when they're done. And there are some differences in what they look for. And there are a number of points here, which I'm going to assume you all are reading as I talk. But urban PA students who've grown up in urban areas are interested in certain urban characteristics, including wealth and aesthetics of the community when they think about where they want to go to work and access to certain types of resources. Students who are interested in going to work, who indicate an interest right now in going to work in rural areas, are interested in whether or not those areas are designated as rural underserved areas, which I think may speak a little bit to their cultural values and what their intentions are from their upbringing. So we do think that the data suggests that PAs may practice in rural areas at a rate greater than their physician colleagues. And we think that provider services may be different depending on where PA students work or where PAs work. The literature is fairly limited. I think probably it would be nice to see if we could do some comparisons with other clinical provider types like nurse practitioners and perhaps practicing pharmacists, because I think there may be some interesting information from that. There are abundant research opportunities. We think this photograph is of some of our PA students and public health students collaborating on some projects a couple of months ago relative to designing healthcare interventions for local Harnett County youth. So we're looking forward to any collaborative efforts that anybody has to offer or suggest, just as we heard before in terms of talking after the session. Thank you.